Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Davav, and we will begin on Daf Hey Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Yesterday we learned that the Mishnah taught us that the Sukkah has to be a minimal height of 10 tefachim, and we wanted to know from where we learned that. Remeya, the Gemara said, learns it from the Kruvim in the Mishkan. The Gemara said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that can't be a source, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kruvim were actually 11 and a half tefachim, not 10. So the Gemara say, there's a halach l'mashim Sinai, what the size of partitions have to be, and the halach l'mashim Sinai teaches us that it has to be 10 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, shurim deraisin anu, shurim are not a halach l'mashim Sinai, the midoraisa, the ksiv, as the pasuk says, Eres chitus oira, the gefen v'simen v'se'en of rima, these different types of produce. Eres sheis shemen dvash. V'am Rav Chanan said, kol ha'posik gazel l'shurim nemer. That the purpose of this pasuk is to teach us that these different types of produce are used as the shurim for different halachas, which the Gemara will discuss as we start the Gemara. So, how could you say, ask the Gemara, that's halach l'mashma Sinai, it's a daraisa? The Chassam Sofer quotes Rav Shlomo Kluger with a shailah. So Rav Shlomo Kluger asked, the Gemara seems to say, it's not a daraisa, it's not a halach l'mashma Sinai, it's a daraisa. What's the difference if it's a daraisa or halach l'mashma Sinai? Halach l'mashma Sinai has the same status as a daraisa. So what's the practical halachic difference? So he said that Rav Shlomo Kluger said, there's a difference. If it's a deraisa, in a deraisa we have a concept of rubik akula. So let's just use an example, if the most common example, a kazayis. The Gemara is going to teach us that a kazayis is the shear. So we say rubik akula, if you say kazayis is midaraisa, we'll say rubik akula, you don't have to eat a kazayis. You only have to eat roiva kazayis. On the other end, it's a halach l'mashe mesinai, then you have to eat a whole kazayis when you have to eat it for a mitzvah, or if you eat machol sasuris, it's a whole kazayis of machol sasuris. The Chassam Sofer disagrees. He says, when do we say Rubik HaKula? He says a beautiful word. What's the concept of Rubik HaKula? That if you have, he gives some examples. Let's say we know you need a minyan for benching, for davening. But under certain circumstances, you have six or seven people. You could daven be minyan, or you could answer for benching. But that doesn't mean if you have six or seven people, it's enough. You have to have 10 people. And if you have 10 people, if six or seven didn't daven, it's considered enough. Or for a Sanhedrin, he says. Sanhedrin has to have 70, 71 members. So what's going to happen if you can put together a Sanhedrin of only 36 people? Can you say Rubik HaKuloi? Of course not. Rubik HaKuloi means that you have the whole thing, and from the whole, you have a roiv. So he says, if you're going to say that the shear is a kazayis, even if it's midaraisa, you can't use the concept of Rubik HaKuloi, because you have to have a whole kazayis. So that's why he doesn't answer. He's left with Rav Shlomo Kluger's question. The Chazanist says that the world usually says, what does it mean that these fruits bring the fruits that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with, and are the fruits that we use for different shiurim? So usually we understand it that since Eretz Yisrael has these fruits, therefore these are the fruits that are used for shiurim. The Chazanist says just the opposite. Because these are the fruits that Hashem wants us to use for the shiurim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these fruits into Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara. Correct. Chita, so the first type of produce that was mentioned was wheat. Regarding what halacha? Lebeis hamanuga. Let's say a house has a nega. The Tanakh, the Mishnah teaches us. Hanichnas lebeis hamanuga. If somebody walks into a house that has a nega, the Caleb of Ksefov, he's not wearing his clothing, he's just carrying them on his shoulders. The sandal of a tabois of a yoda, he's carrying his shoes, he's carrying his rings. He's immediately tamei, and the items that he's carrying become immediately tamei. However, how you love Caleb, he's wearing the garments. The sandal of a raglov, his shoes are on his feet. The tabois of a tabois and his rings are on his fingers. Hu tamei miyad, he's immediately tamei. Vehain tarim, achi yishabachtei chilas pras. They remain tar unless he remains in the house for the amount of time to eat kedei chilas pras, the amount of bread. It's machloikis Rashi and Rambam. Is it 3 bayim of bread or 4 bayim of bread? The Mishnah Berurah says that we always go l'chumrah. If it's a chumrah to say 3 bayim, we say 3 bayim. If it's a chumrah to say 4 bayim, we say 4 bayim. So the Gemara says, what kind of bread? Pas chitin, wheat bread. So there's a very fundamental machlokes Rashi in the Ritva. Rashi says wheat bread is eaten quicker than other bread because it's very tasty. The Ritva, so that makes it a smaller shear. The Ritva says just the opposite. The Ritva says that since it's very tasty, so people enjoy eating it and they take more time in eating it. Pas chitin v'loy pas sairim. Mesiv oichel, sitting in a reclining position. Again, the same achlokas Rashi and Ritva. Rashi says when you sit reclined, so you're comfortable, you could concentrate on your eating, and you could eat quicker. The Ritva says when you relax, you eat slower. Va'oichel beliften, and you eat it with condiment. Again, same achlokas. Rashi says it's with condiment, it's gishmaker, you eat it quicker. The Ritva says if you're eating with condiment, it takes time to eat the condiment. So that takes away from the time to eat the bread. So it takes you longer to finish the bread. So that's the shear. There's a shaila that was asked to the Beis Halevi. There are two Jews entering a shul. One is wearing his talis and tefillin, and one is carrying his talis and tefillin. And they both come to the door at the same time, and they have respect for each other. Who should be allowed in first? So he said, based on this Gemara, the one carrying the talis tefillin has precedence over the one wearing the talis tefillin. Why? Because in our Gemara we see that when you carry the talis tefillin, it's considered a separate entity, and that's why it's tummy immediately. When you wear it, it becomes part of you, and that's why he said the person carrying the talis tefillin should go in first. There are poskim that disagreed with the Beis Halevi, because they said the person wearing the talis tefillin is in the middle of doing a mitzvah. The person carrying the talis tefillin is only on the way to doing a mitzvah, and somebody doing a mitzvah deserves more respect. Rebbe Yoshev says a very interesting thing on this Gemara. He says there is a situation where someone will be wearing clothing, not just carrying clothing, and the clothing will become tummy immediately. When? He says if it's a goy. This din applies to a Jew, where the Torah differentiates if a Jew is carrying, if a Jew is wearing. But by a goy doesn't become tummy when he goes into the house that has a nega. So therefore, every goy, even when he's wearing clothing, is like carrying clothing. Because there's no point, there's no position of wearing by him, because he's not susceptible to the tumah bayis hamenugah, and therefore even a goy who's wearing clothing, those clothing will become tummy immediately. Saira, what is the shear of a barley? That not etzem, because saira matamba b'maga b'masa. If you have a barley, a size of bone of a barley from a dead person, if you carry it or touch it, there's tumah immediately. As Rashi explains, tumas oil only comes when you have most of the spine or most of the bones or the skull of a person. But tumas maga masa is when you have a bone fragment the size of a barley. Geffen, what is geffen? Grape. K'dei revius yayin l'nozer. So Rashi and Tosfos both explain the Gemara here this way. They say that a nozer, not only is he not allowed to drink wine, but the Torah tells us he's not allowed to eat from any of the byproducts of grape. Not allowed to eat the skin, not allowed to eat the peels, the seeds. So how much is osur? So he says, the amount is, if you take an amount of these products and you put them into a cup of wine until they displace a revius of wine, that's the amount that's osur. And like the Mefarshim explained, it's harder to displace a revius of wine than to displace a revius of water. Wine is thicker than water, so you need more volume to displace wine. That's how Rashi and Tosfos explain it here. Rashi in Masechta Erevin explains this Gemara differently. Rashi says that k'dei revius yayin l'nazir, it's to tell us how much wine a nazir has to drink that he's not allowed to drink. But the Tosfos there says that Rashi is difficult to understand, because in all these things that we discussed, we don't use the item to discuss it itself. When we speak about wheat bread, we're not talking about how much bread you have to eat. We use wheat bread to tell us how much you need, how much it is when you walk in to buy some menugah. If Geffen's talking about it itself, it's inconsistent with all the other products mentioned. Taina, we spoke about a fig. Kigroigros leitzar Shabbos. that we learned in Masechta Shabbos, that many times the shear for carrying is the size of a dried fig. Rimon, the next fruit that was mentioned is a pomegranate, the Tanan. Kol klei bilabatim shurim krimonim. The halacha is like this. If a vessel becomes tameh, the way it can become tar is if it's broken. Shvirosan zu tarosan. So, two words of introduction. The Chazon Ish tells us, certainly if the vessel after it's broken is not usable, that it makes no difference what size the hole is. It's not considered a vessel anymore. Furthermore, says Seder Rishonim, our Gemara is not talking about a Kli Cheres, it's not talking about earthenware, it's talking about Kli Eitz, a vessel made out of wood. They lived in very different times than we live. They didn't live in a disposable generation. If something broke, didn't mean they just threw it out. So if something broke, they used it for another purpose. So if you have a vessel that has a hole, and let's say that vessel was originally used to hold olives, and that a hole is too large that the olives will fall out, but it's still usable for pomegranates, because pomegranates are larger than olives. Once, says the Gemara, that it has a hole that pomegranates will fall out, that vessel is not considered usable, even, again, if it's a Kli Balabatim. Because there's a difference also if it's a keli that's being sold in a store. In a store you can't sell a vessel but as a hole, how small the hole may not be. However, in your home, you're not so quick to throw it out. So the Gemara is saying that even at home, if you have a vessel that's tameh and it has now a hole, that pomegranate will fall out. And Tosfos says it has to be three pomegranates. Pomegranates that grow three together. Because he says pomegranates that grow more together could be too small. And pomegranates that grow less together may be too large. Three pomegranates are the right size. If it has a hole that size, that vessel is considered broken and is no longer tamei. Eretz Zei Shemen, a land of Zei Shemen, teaches us the Gemara, Eretz Shekol Shurei Kazayisim. Land that everything is a kazayis. The shear is always a kazayis. Ask the Gemara, Kol Shurei Salkadaitach, is that true? Hoyeka Hani Daminun. We just mentioned a whole list of fruits and different items that we use as a shear. Says the Gemara, Ela Eima Shuroiv Shurei Kazayisim. Most of the shurim and halacha are the size of a kazayis. Because generally, the machol sasurus is not allowed to eat a kazayis, and when you have to eat something for mitzvah, it also has to be a kazayis. So the Mefarshim ask, a kazayis depends on eating. Eating has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. When you're not allowed to eat machol sasurus, you're not allowed to eat a kazayis and machol sasurus, that's not nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to eat in a chutz laretz either. And when you have to eat something, matzah, you have to eat it in a chutz laretz also. So why is the kazayis connected to Eretz Yisrael? So two answers. One answer is because the punishment for eating kazayis of machol sasurus is generally only given in Eretz Yisrael, because karbonos could only be brought in Eretz Yisrael, and malchus you have to have a bezdin of smuchim, and a bezdin of smuchim only was in Eretz Yisrael. Another answer is when we speak about an olive. So it could be the olives of Chutz Laaretz are a different size than the olives of Eretz Yisrael. Which size olive do we follow? The size olive of Eretz Yisrael. The Maral makes an interesting observation. He says, in the Gemara that we learned today, we spoke about eating twice. First, we spoke about eating here, about what's the shir achila for a mitzvah, for an aveira, a kazayis. And before we spoke about eating, that the shear is kedai achilas pras. So what's the difference? What's kedai achilas? When do we use the concept of kedai achilas pras? And when do we use the concept of kazayis? So he explains, kazayis speaks about a quantity. The quantity to eat has to be kazayis, to be mekayim mitzvah or vice versa. Kedai achilas pras doesn't speak about a quantity. It speaks about how you eat. And if you eat, if it takes you longer than a kedai achilas pras to eat, that's not called that you ate it in the right amount of time. On Kedei Achilas Pras, the Mechas Chinuch asks, Kedei Achilas Pras could be different for different people. Some people eat slower, and some people eat quicker. So is Kedei Achilas Pras dependent on the person, or is it one rule for everybody? So Mechas Chinuch, so the Chassam Sofer says, that Kedei Achilas Pras is followed a consistent rule. We take the average person, and that becomes the Shiuk Techil's Pratz, which I've already said here is anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes. There's an interesting Rit Al Ghazi. He actually says it's a Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. There's a Shaila that was saying that at the Shir of Achilas Akazayas. There are certain foods that a guy is also not allowed to eat. A guy is not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. So the Shiurim that the Torah gave are for Jews. So ask the Rit Al Ghazi, what's going to be the halacha by a guy? How much Eva Menachai does a guy have to eat to be chayiv for eating Eva Menachai? So he says it's a machloikis toisus in the Rambam. What is the machloikis dependent on? He says, Toisus learns that Kedei Achilas Pras is telling us that if you eat less than a kazayis, it's not called eating. Less than a kazayis is not called eating. So if it's not called eating, it makes no difference if you're a Jew or a guy. It's not called eating. If on the other hand, Kedei Achilas Pras is a shear, a kazayis is a shear, it has to be a kazayis, then that shear was only set to Jews, not to goyim. There's a similar machlokes. There's a similar machlokes. Part of what is included in Shiurim is the age of bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah. That a Jewish boy becomes bar mitzvah at 13, a Jewish girl becomes bas mitzvah at 12. What's the halacha on a goy? The same shayla. Eva menachai, a goy is not allowed to eat. At what age is a goy not allowed to eat Eva menachai? So the Chasam Sofer says, Shiurim only set for Jews. By a goy, it would be dependent when you have to look at every child, and when you could determine that the child is a bar das, that he has a certain level of maturity, he's mechuyev. It doesn't have to, it has nothing to do with 13 or 12. He says the only place he agrees it would have to do with 13 and 12 is regarding kabonis. Where the Torah says that goyim are allowed to donate kabonis, so, and the, we derive it from the kabonis that Jews bring. So goy is the same as a Jew. Whatever the age for a Jew that can bring a carbon would be for a goy. For everything else, the Chasam Sofer says, goyim have nothing to do with 13 and 12. Those are ages relevant to Jews. And the Beis Shlomo disagrees. The Beis Shlomo says that after the what the Torah told us with 13 and 12 wasn't a shear, this is the age which is only relevant to Jews. The Torah tells us that that is the age where a child becomes mature. It's a physical factor, so it has nothing to do with Jew or non-Jew. Dvash, the next fruit that was mentioned was dvash, which is a date, as we learned in Masechta Yomim, kiksevus agasa b'yom kippurim, that the amount that one is not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur is the size of a date, as we learned so much in Masechta Yomim, because Yom Kippur is not dependent on eating. Yom Kippur is dependent on Yishuv Hadas, and the Gemara says the Kesevus gives Yishuv Hadas. But the bottom line, why we come back to our original question, Alma Daraisa Ninu. So we see that the Shurim are Daraisa. Says the Gemara V'tizbar Shurim Iksivi. Can you say that the Shurim are Daraisa? The pasuk just lists a list of produce. Where do you see that it's the Raisa? What was me say? Hilchas Ninu. That they're really a halach l'mosh m'sinai, the cross machta ba'amud. The pasuk just an asmachta, it's not a real deraisa. The next thing the Gemara said was the chatzitzin, the issue of a chatzitz is a halach l'mosh m'sinai. Ask the Gemara, chatzitzin deraisa nenu, chatzitzin is the issue of deraisa. The pasuk says, v'rochetz b'sar b'mayim, and we learn shalei davach chaitzitz b'enoi l'bein amayim, there's not allowed to be anything interposing between the person and the water. Answers the Gemara. Ki yaseh hilchasa l'sa'aroi. The pasuk, the halacha l'mosh m'sinai is not talking about the body. That the body does not allow to be a chatzitz. We know from the Torah. It's talking about the hair. K'rabba b'vachana, dam rabba b'vachana. Nima achas kishura. If a person has one hair tied with a knot in it, chaitzetzes. It's a chatzitz. Because if there's only one strand of hair with a knot, it's a tight knot, and the water can't come in. Sholosh, if you have three strands tied together, and a chatzitz, because it's not going to be a tight knot, and the water can penetrate. Shteim, if it's two hairs tied together, and yodeya. So he says, that's what our local Moshe Messina is teaching us. Ask the Gemara, Sarah Nami Daraisa Nenu, that the hair is also Daraisa. The Ksib, because the Pasuk says, V'rochetz B'sar B'mayim, and we take the word S, which is seemingly superfluous, to teach us had tofel b'sari, something which is secondary to the body, or mainiyu sarai. So we see that the hair is also the raisa. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, the only thing the pasuk is telling us is that when you go to the mikvah, you have to make sure your hair is in the mikvah. But the pasuk doesn't tell us the halacha of a chatzitza by the mikvah. So maybe I still need the halacha of Moshe Sinai to teach us the halacha of chatzitza by here. Answers to Pnei Yeshua beautiful. He says, once the Torah is telling us that not just the body is required to be immersed, but the hair also must be immersed, then all the dinim of tefillah that apply to the body automatically apply to the hair also, and therefore I don't need halacha of Moshe Sinai. Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Hilchasa L'chadar Rabbi Yitzchak. What do I need the halacha of Moshe Sinai for the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak taught us? Dom Rabbi Yitzchak. Dvat Torah Midah Raisa Ruba Makra Lof Chaitzitz. The only thing something is a chatzitza if it covers most of the body and the person and it bothers the person.
No, she says Ruba the Seir.
We're going to talk about that. V'she'ena Makra Lof, if the person, if it doesn't bother you, Eina Chaitzitz, even if it's derived, or vice versa. The Gaza Ruba Shem Makbar, however, Chazal made a gzera, that if it covers most of the body, even though it doesn't bother you, it's a chatzitza, because a gzera Mishim Ruba Makbid, which is the Raisa. Vamayutar HaMakbid, similarly Chazal made a gzera that if it's the minimum, not the majority, but it bothers you, Mishim Ruba HaMakbid. That's the Halacha Lamash Mesinai. Ask the Gemara, V'ligza Nami Amayutar Shem Makbid, why didn't Chazal also make a gzera when it's a miyut and it doesn't bother you? Mishum, and the gzera should be made either because you could get confused with a miyut hamakbid, or inami you may get confused with a rubai she'en hamakbid. Answers the Gemara, simple terrors. He goof a gzera. Rubai she'en hamakbid. Or miyut hamakbid we just identified as only osam drabonin. Vanan nigzer gzera l'gzera. We have a klal throughout Shas that we don't make a gzera l'gzera. What's the reason? Because the Torah tells the Rabbanon, Vasu Mishmeres Mishmerti. You make a gzeira to protect the Daraisa, but you don't make a gzeira to protect the Rabbanon. There's a lot of issues to bring up here. The first question is the Gemara is saying here that Midaraisa Rubai HaMakbid is a chatzitza. What about if it covers your entire body? Let's say something covers your entire body. So there the halacha is that even if you're not makbid, midaraisa it's a chatzitza. If it covers you, your entire body. Ask the Chachma Sodom, so how come it's not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Paiskim? So the Brisker Rav says a beautiful teretz. If something covers your entire body, there's no spot in your body that's open, then and you go to the mikveh that way, that's not cool that you went to the mikveh. If now one part of your body was exposed to the mikveh, I don't have to tell you that it's nothing. It's not called going to the mikveh if nothing was immersed. There's a fundamental machloikus Rashi in Taisus. We just spoke about Rubai HaMakbid and Rubai She'en HaMakbid. Rashi says that these dinim only apply to the hair. However, on the rest of the body, these dinim don't apply. Rashi says that on the rest of the body, the halach is that any chatzitza is a chatzitza. Taisus disagrees, and Taisus says that these halachas apply to the hair and to the body the same way. There's another shayla that the Ritva asks. Here the Gemara is saying that midaraisa it's only chatzitza if you have roiv and you're makbid. On Amud Aleph we said that one hair with a knot is a chatzitza, but one hair with a knot is not rubai hamakbid. So how could it be a chatzitza? So Rashi has that kash, and Rashi says one hair but you're makbid. So since you're makbid, that may be a problem. The Ritva says it's one strand of hair at a time. But let's say you'll have many strands of hair, all of them, each one having a knot. So you'll have Rubai HaMakbid. There's a very big machloikus lahalocha, machloikus rishoyim. Do we combine the hair with the rest of the body, or do we look at the hair separately from the rest of the body when we talk about roiv? Very relevant shayla. Because let's say a person, most of his hair will have a chatzitza, but the rest of the body is completely clean, or vice versa. Do we combine the two or not? It's machloikus rishoyim. Interestingly, we paskin that you look at the hair separately from the rest of the body. The hair is viewed as one entity, and the rest of the body is looked as another entity. There's a mi'iri, we don't paskin that way, that says that every limb should be looked at separately. Just like we don't combine the hair with the body, we shouldn't combine the hand with the foot. It's two separate, we don't paskin that way. Now, there's a machloikis in the hair. Do we look at all the hair on the person's body, or do we look at every area of hair separately? So we look at the hair on the head and the hair on the body as two separate entities, or do we look at it as one? There's two interesting lamdash shailas. Rabbi Chanan asks the following shaila. Here the Gemara is saying that there's a concept of chatzitza. That means, let's say somebody has to go to the mikveh, and he takes his hand and he covers part of his body, covers it very tight, he holds it very tight. It's considered that he didn't go to the mikveh because that area was covered. It's a chatzitza. Ask Rabbi Chanan, the halacha we're going to learn later in this masechta is, let's say the halacha is when you take a lulav, you have to have the lulav in your hand. Let's say, says the Gemara, you have a piece of lulav, which we all have, the koshalach that we put the lulav into, in our hand. Why is that not a chatzitza between your hand and the lulav? So the Gemara says, because what that is made out of, the holder is made out of, is the same material as the lulav. That's why you don't have silver and gold holders, because that would be a chatzitza. So he says, why over there is it a chatzitza, and here it's not a chatzitza? So B'chanan says, beautiful vart. He says, something with which itself requires tefillah is always a chatzitza. If a person has to go to the mikveh, so his hand, like the rest of his body, requires tefillah. So how could your hand, which requires tefillah, be considered not a cover? It's something that it itself requires tefillah, and therefore it's considered chatzitza. Rav Chaim Briska asks a very interesting shayla. The Gemara here says, the midaraisa, you have to have rubai hamakbid. Rubai she'en hamakbid is a drabon. Asks Rav Chaim, every rubai she'en hamakbid should be automatically a rubai hamakbid. We want to follow what the rabbonim say. So if a person has most of his body covered with chatzitza, because he wants to fulfill what the rabbonim say, so he's makbid on it. And since he's makbid on it, it should become every rubai she'en hamakbid should automatically become a rubai hamakbid. So I saw three answers to this question. The Yeshua Yaakov says, indeed, that's the case. He says, after Chazal made the gzeir of Rubai She'en HaMakbid, it always falls into being a Rubai HaMakbid. Other Mepharshim say just the opposite. Rubai HaMakbid doesn't depend on what Chazal say. Makbid is what bothers you. And if it doesn't bother you, even though Chazal tell you it shouldn't be there, it can't be considered that it bothers you. But Rav Chaim Briska says a very lomdish teretz. Actually, I saw Rav Chaim Oizer says the same teretz. What's the case of Rubai She'en HaMakbid? Person has 60% of his body covered with an item that he doesn't bother. How much of that is an issue for what we're discussing? The first 50% is not an issue, because the first 50% is not Rubai. How much is the, what makes the difference? The last 10%. So it's only 10% that's the difference. 10% is not a roif. Mechitzin. Where do we say the mechitzin, partitions, are halach l'mosh m'sinai? So the Gemara Hadamar, the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that the walls of a sukkah after we tend to tefachim is halach l'mosh m'sinai. Ask the Gemara Hanichel Rabbi Yehuda. That will work according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we said at the beginning this year, that he learns the halach that a sukkah has to be tend to tefachim tall from Dalok Lamash Mistinai. El Rameya Michael Mema. Rameya, who holds that we learned it from the Kruvim regarding what we learn Halok Lamash Mistinai for partitions, answers the Gemara, Kiyasa Hilkasal good. Good means good asik or good achis. Sometimes we schlep a wall down and sometimes we schlep it up. Love it, the Gemara we spoke about yesterday, that if there's only an open space of less than 3 tefachim, it's considered closed. And Daifin Akuma, what we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, that if there's less than 4 amis of posla schach between the wall and the schach, we say Daifin Akuma. All these halachas we'll speak about more. So we learned in the Mishnah, V'she'en le'sholosh tefanis. If a sukkah doesn't have 3 walls, it's a disqualified sukkah. Tan Rabbanan, so Rabbanan teaches us, how do those 3 walls have to look? Shtaim kachasan, v'shlishes afilo tefach. You really only have to have 2 walls of the minimum size, which we said earlier was zayin tefachim, and the third wall could only needs a tefach. Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon disagrees, shalosh kachasan v'rviyas afilo tefach. He says you have to have 3 full walls, and the fourth one has to have a tefach. Ask the Gemara of Maikim Mifugi, what's the machloikas between Rabbanan and Rav Shimon? Says the Gemara, Rabbanan sabri yesh emlam asiris, Rabbanan Shimon Sabayesh Emla Mikra. Many times in Shas we have this machlokes. We know that the Torah has the Kri and the Ksiv. Lemikra is the way the word is pronounced. Lemesiris is the way the word is spelled. And the machlokes, says the Gemara, between Rabban and Rav Shimon, is when there's a conflict between the kri and the ksiv, between the pronunciation and the spelling, which takes priority. So like all the mafarshim explain, certainly they both are very important in halacha, both the pronunciation and the spelling. The machlokes here is when there's a conflict, which takes priority. I saw that the Rif asks, why here do we use a lashon nekeva? Yesh aim lemikra, yesh aim lemesiris, and many times in halacha we use the word binyan av. We use the father. When do we use the father, or when do we use the mother? So the Rif answered, when we're speaking about something that is explaining a pasuk that we're learning, but it doesn't have relevance for other areas of halacha, we use the word aim. Like here, we're going to use the word sukkah to talk about hilchos sukkah. It has no relevance elsewhere. When we trying to teach about other areas of halacha, that's a binyan av, that we learn from one area to another area, then we use the word av. The other mafarshim say another teretz. When we're trying to explain something that is concealed, that's difficult to understand, we have a pasuk, we don't know how to understand pasuk, we use the word mother. Why do we use the word mother? Because a mother carries a child in her womb, which is also concealed. So here, when we're trying to understand a pasuk, or a bas koil, which is also coming from Shemayim, which we don't see, we use Lashon Nekeva. When we're speaking about something which is explicit, we use the Lashon Av. So now the Gemara is saying, the Machlokes of Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon evolves around, do we give priority to the Mesira or to the Mikra? What does that mean? Because the Torah uses the word Besukkos three times. Besukkos, Besukkos, Besukkos. Two times when the Torah uses the word Besukkos, it's spelled without the Vav. One time it's spelled with the Vav. So the difference is when it's spelled without the Vav, it's a singular, so it's considered one time. When it's spelled with the Vav, it's considered two. So if you follow the spelling, the ksiv, harei kan arba. So the word sukkah is mentioned four times. Dal chad legufei. So the first time it's mentioned, we have to deduct it. Because that's just telling us that there's a halacha, that you have to sit in a sukkah on sukkahs. Pashalu klasa. So the Torah left over with the word sukkah three times. Shtayim kachasim, which really means that you have to have three walls. V'asa hilchasa, v'garata l'shlishis v'kmatafa. The Halacha L'mashmi Sinai says that the last wall, the third wall, you don't have to have a full wall, one tefach is enough. And we'll describe a lot more about this tomorrow in the shir. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, holds yesh eim l'mikra. We follow the pronunciation, not the spelling. So we have a sukkas, besukkas, besukkas, which is a total of six, because each one is two, three times two is six. Harei kan shesh. Dal chad krol gufen. Take out one pasuk for the actual din of sukkah. And like the Ritva says, we don't take out one mention. Here we take out one pasuk, and each pasuk equals two, so we're down to four. Dal chad krol gufen. Pashlu arba. So we're left with four walls. And again, it tells us Rav Shimon, Sholosh kachasin, asa hilchasa, v'gar to lervias v'kmatafach. The Torah tells us the word sukkah is four times. That means you have to have four walls. The Halacha Mashmi Sinai tells us the last wall, the fourth wall, a tefach is enough. That's one way of explaining the machlokes. Another way of explaining the machlokes, says the Gemara, V'bayisem the kulam yesh em lemikra. Everybody follows the pronunciation. What's the machlokes? Evolve around. Besides needing, so if we go with the pronunciation, we have six. We take off one for the schach, we're down to four. One pasuk, we're down to four. The Rabbanan hold that from those four, I need a pasuk to teach us that you have to have schach. Sich by kro. So I'm only left with three, and the Halacha L'mashmi Sinai reduces the last wall. Or masav sich by kro. So I have four, and the Halacha L'mashmi Sinai reduces the last wall, the fourth wall. V'bay seima. Another way of explaining the machlokes, the kulam yesh eim lemesiris. We follow the spelling. What's the machlokes? Machlokes is masav kiyase hilchasa legareya, or masav kiyase hilchasa lahaisav. One man does machlokes. What is the point of the Halacha L'mashmi Sinai? Everybody says the midaraisa, the Torah tells us you have to have three walls. However, the Rabbana hold that the Halacha L'mashmi Sinai tells us that the third wall doesn't have to be a full wall, a tefach is enough. And Rav Shimon holds that the Halacha L'mashmi Sinai says it's not enough to have the three walls that the Torah requires. We have to have a fourth wall, but that fourth wall, a tefach, is enough. V'boyseima, another way of explaining the machloikis. The kula amikasa hafasul gareya. Everybody agrees that the point of Lachlan Meshem Sinai is to reduce the size of the last wall. Furthermore, V'yesh Eilim Osiris, we follow the spelling. V'hachav adarshan tchilas k'mesugi. The machloikis says, do we need a pasik for sukkah? Rabbanan hold, we need a pasik for sukkah. And Rav Shimon holds, we don't need a pasik for sukkah. So the Rana asks, how could you say you don't need a pasik for sukkah? If you don't know you need a sukkah, there's nothing to discuss. So the Rana explains that, of course, Rav Shimon will agree that the first pasuk teaches us about sukkah. But Rav Shimon holds that since the other three sukkim are teaching us about the walls of the sukkah, so the first word sukkah can have a dual purpose. It could teach us that you have to have a sukkah, and it also could teach us that about the wall of the sukkah. Rav Shimon holds that the first word doesn't only teach us that you have to have a sukkah, it also teaches us that you have to have a wall of a sukkah. Or Masav the Rabbanan hold the aim darshan tchilas. Rav Masna says a different explanation. Tamid Rav Shimon Hocha. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, the sukkah tiel itzel yoimam, the sukkah should be for protection. It has to be protection from the elements. So Rav Shimon says that if it doesn't have four walls, what kind of protection does it give? That's why you have to have four walls. That's the way Rashi learns. So the Mefarshim ask, according to that approach, we have a rule that we don't learn halacha from Nach. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya, so how do we learn a pasuk halacha from Nach? So the Mefarshim answer that this pasuk is not teaching us halacha. This pasuk is defining that when the Torah tells us you have to sit in a sukkah, what does a sukkah look like? What does it mean? The pasuk in Yeshaya helps us understand. Tosfos has a different approach how to understand this pasuk. Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi. Tosfos says the pasuk says the sukkah tiyah letzel yom mechayrif is one wall. Lemachsa lemister is the next, is the second wall. And now we have machlokes of Shimon Rabbanan how to learn the word zerem amotah. The Rabbanan holds zerem amotah mean rain, both mean rain, so that's a third thing. So you only have to have three walls. Rav Shimon says zerem amotah are two separate items, so zerem is wall three, and amotah is wall four, and everybody agrees that the halacha l'moshe Sinai reduces the last wall. There's a very beautiful vart from the Arugas Habayisim. We know that the Torah tells us that there's a aveira about sigra, you're not allowed to deduct from the mitzvahs, and there's an aveira about taisif, you're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs. Says the Arugas Habayisim, what is this pasuk teaching us? This pasuk teaching us that somebody who sits in the sukkah will be protected from these two aveiros. How many mitzvahs are there? Ramach. We know the ramach avarim, the ramach mitzvahs say. For sukkah tia lemach tzalyon mechayrav lemach lemister mizerem. Zerem is resh mem zayin, to make sure that you won't deduct from the mitzvahs. Or mimater, mater is that you resh mem tes, that you won't add to the mitzvahs. The sukkah will make sure that we follow the mitzvahs as the Torah wants us to. The Gra says that the word sukkah, as we just learned, is spelled samach kaf hey. He says, what does that mean? The sukkah went through three steps. First, the sukkah, we said, how does the sukkah have to look? It has to have, like a sukkah, four walls. Then we said it has to look like a chof, three walls. And then it's a hey, two walls and a tefach. There's a story that the Pasa Shulchan brings down from the Gra. The Gra was once telling his Talmidim that every person has to have a mesechta that he knows perfectly. So it was this Talmud accepted what his Rebbe said, and he decided that the mesechta that he's going to learn is mesechta sukkah. So he spent time learning it, hopefully like we're learning it. And he came back to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe said, he told his Rebbe, Mesechta Sukkah is my Mesechta. So he says, yeah, okay, how many times do you have in the Mesechta Machlokes Rav and Shmuel? How many times in the Mesechta do you have Machlokes Abai and Rava? The Talmud didn't know. He says, you have Machlokes this many times Rav and Shmuel, this many times Machlokes Abai and Rava. But then he took it one step further. He said, the word Sukkah, the gematria of the word Sukkah is 91. The gematria of the word Sukkah without the Vav is 85. He says there are 91 examples of a kosher sukkah and there are 85 examples of a possible sukkah. But we'll end off with one more vart. There's an interesting Medrash Pliya. And the Medrash Pliya says that Loinez Kara Data Shel Iyav. Iyav didn't calm down. Iyav, we know, was the person that was Beisurim. He was in such so many afflictions happened to him. Aksha Raw, until he came to the Daf Yom Yishir and learned this Gemara Basukah Basukah Basukah. That's the Medrash. So nobody understands what does our Gemara have to do with the Yisurim of Iyav. That the learning our Gemara made him feel good. So Mefarshim explained, Iyav didn't understand why he was afflicted with all these Yisurim. And he started to think that perhaps they made a mistake. And instead of they brought the tzaris to the wrong person. And they got mixed up between the word Iyav and Oyev. Oyev means an enemy. And that they got mixed up in Shemayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the enemy should have tzaris. And they actually brought it to him. But once he learned our Gemara, what does our Gemara prove to us? That every letter in the Torah is so exact. Because the fact that this word has a vav and this word doesn't have a vav makes all the difference in the world la'alacha. So he saw that in Shemayim, they're very particular and very exact. So he knew that they meant him. Everything that happens is with a cheshbon.